I've got your tributes right here. It's GRD's Weekly.
What are we from, District Geek?
Sure. Why not?
We're from District 69.
That's what I said.
I said it.
Oh, dear God. You know what that means.
Thanks a lot, Bruce.
Starting it off early. 20 seconds into the episode.
And we haven't even said that it's episode
154.
Of GRD's Weekly. We're the fine, fantastic folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, of course, at the forums at GeekRadioDaily.com. And, you know, I guess as long as you're not too creepy about it, peek in through the windows.
Sure.
It's a dark and stormy night.
That won't be
creepy at all.
No.
If somebody peeks in our window, I don't know what.
I'm going to flash them.
So, shocker there.
Yeah.
So the folks bringing it tonight, that there, of course, well, you know where's the Flintsters, but sometimes...
I volunteer as tribute.
Okay, tribute. That's fine. Whatever you want to call it. Over there, the guy that always has a weird greeting for folks, that's the Bruce.
Be prepared to fight to the death.
Why is it always going to be so violent? Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I'm here to help you make an impression.
Yeah, you're going to make a great goddamn impression with me. So, hello! And welcome back. So currently, I know this should go in the GRD news segment, but yes, the servers are being plunged as we speak. Mm-hmm. So moving on.
They're being rooted.
Cleansed.
Which is, of course, why we have our patron
enema.
Saint.
That was the word I was thinking of, enema.
Wow, out of context
theater presents. Yeah.
So folks, here's what you got to do. 6 months from now, when I finally release the special episode of all the pre-show nonsense, you'll understand why she was thinking of an enema.
Just random and non sequiturs.
No, at all. So, all right. Well, I would ask what you've been doing geeky, but apparently
it's colonics.
No. Well,
what voice was that?
I do not know.
No.
No. No, Davey.
No.
Gosh, Davey. I never thought of it that way.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, today for my Geeky Week, I'll work backwards. I was at an awards ceremony for teachers and students who have created technology projects.
Did you win?
No, I wasn't eligible to win because I'm the kind of person that helps teachers and students to make technology products. So it's a given that I would know a good thing to do.
And but you're on the student, judging panel.
Yeah, I was also on the judging panel. A student from my school was a winner, and it was great because he is a total geek. And he made this 3D replica of a cell phone in Google SketchUp, and it was detailed. I mean, he made every button. He made all of the different, you know, he made the Verizon symbol. He had all of it totally crafted, you know, by himself. It was really, really a neat project, and he's totally into architecture, and he's not really outgoing and doesn't have very good social skills, but he was talking to people about his project. He was really mm-hmm. getting into it. He was getting recognized for doing something. I think it's going to be really good for him academically, so that was fun.
Good.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought maybe you guys would react. Yay! For my school. Okay. Just kidding. Watched a movie. We watched Sucker Punch.
There you go. Yeah. Zack Snyder's visionary director Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch.
Okay. I'm waiting. I'm expecting the other show to drop
there. Okay. Well, you know, I have not seen it, and I have not seen it all the way.
We know some people who have given it glowing, oh my God, this is a great movie, reviews, and then other people who have totally trashed it.
So it was on HBO, and I'm like, well, you know, let me tape it. Then last night, she's like, hey, you want to watch Sucker Punch? And I'm like, sure, I'm up for misogyny. And she's like, well, I don't really like misogyny. I'm like, but it's hidden in female empowerment is what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So that's what we went for.
So yeah, it's like Zack Snyder had just seen Inception and also read a steampunk book and what else, and just, you know, a couple of other things, but definitely highly
threw
influential.
Threw into a blender,
And probably, I guess, watched a Rain of Fire because there was a dragon.
Maybe
again.
Some lesbian porn.
Yeah, sure.
There wasn't any actual sex, but there was just a lot of sexy outfits.
There was
anime then.
Now, this is not a comic book. This is not a video game.
Yeah.
But this was so a video game movie. The number of fight scenes that had gratuitous panty shots, spread leg panty shots.
Wow.
Was just, it's the kind of thing that you would normally, as guys, that we would just normally enjoy on that sleazy kind of level. Except it wasn't, it
ruined
sexy.
the sleazy level?
It wasn't sexy. It was, okay.
There were parts that were sexy. But some of the fight scenes weren't sexy.
So so this girl's taken to a mental institution by her evil stepfather, because after mom dies, finds out the kid's got the money. She goes to shoot him, misses, kills her sister, takes her to a mental institution, and John Hamm's going to give her a lobotomy.
Yeah.
And so in Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge moment, we act out the thing where instead of being at the mental hospital, she's suddenly in this burlesque show kind of thing.
In a play show about the mental hospital.
Right.
Well, but not that. And then it's a show
and
about other things.
Then
and
it morphs into a brothel.
Every time.
Okay.
every time she dances, we see extreme video game sequences in which the first one is she fights three stone samurai warriors.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool, but this is what happens when she dances, and she dances so well that everyone's mesmerized and just watches her. We have to assume this because we never see her dance. Because as soon as she starts dancing, it morphs into these video game sequences.
Ah.
And so for their big escape plan for the mental institution, she has to dance for different people to distract them so they can steal things for them to escape.
Like a map and a knife.
So they
kind
of think of the whole fact that she can't dance.
That's what I was thinking. This would be like if Showgirls, if they'd realized Elizabeth Berkley can't dance and showed us really cool kick-ass fight scenes every time she was supposed to dance.
Okay. Well, that would have been such a much better movie.
Right? Right?
Right?
Would have been so much better.
And the special effects in Sucker Punch were amazing.
It's beautiful to look at.
Gorgeous.
But it doesn't make a damn bit of sense. No matter how you look at the ending does not make sense at all. So,
and you never feel sympathetic for the character you're supposed to feel sympathetic for.
No. And it can't be empowering, and it's not really, well, it's like a dirty misogyny. Not the dirty, right kind of dirty. It's the wrong misogyny.
Okay.
It's the one where women are kept imprisoned and trapped at the whims of a man, and the whims sometimes are have you locked up, give you a lobotomy, make you clean floor. You know, not what they normally show on HBO at 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
No Skinamax, huh?
No.
It was interesting, but I don't see any need to ever watch it again.
Never again.
Okay,
and I don't remember what year it came out. I'm surprised we haven't seen more con cosplay of the outfits, though.
Well, probably nobody liked it.
People saw it.
There was a cool-ass mech at one point.
Oh, yeah, there was a badass mech.
She had a mech.
She has a very active imagination.
She does. World War II mech? I'm not sure what that was.
It was pretty
badass.
Cool.
Scott Glenn is in this movie with weird eyes. And I'm not entirely sure why that is.
Okay.
But what are you going to do?
Yeah. We also watched Smash.
Yes, I've seen that. I've seen that recent episode. I actually saw it today just so I make sure I can watch it.
It was sort of the whole, maybe we're going to take Marilyn in a different direction.
Yeah.
That was BS.
That was crap.
There's one thing to go in a different direction. There's another thing to do. That song couldn't possibly have fit in with everything that already existed. So were they going to completely rewrite every single thing and go from scratch?
Or sounded like
was this
it.
Just a way to get a famous guest star into the show and have Karen get a chance to be sexy?
Now, I like a couple of songs by the band that gentleman's in, but does anybody know the members of that band?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. And she's all like,
which band
I know
was
who
it?
You are.
Wasn't
One Republic.
One Republic, yeah.
One Republic, okay.
But you couldn't name, even now I couldn't name the lead singer. He was the guest star.
Ryan something.
Something.
Yeah, something.
With a T, I don't know. So,
Sucker
but
Punch
she
was
all like,
2011.
Oh, hey, I'm a big fan.
So in other words, this was Marilyn, Turn Off the Dark.
Wow.
yeah. It seemed like it. It was,
I guess,
yeah.
Kind of. I'm like, I...
It's one thing to have a slightly divergent view of how you think the show could go, that it could be more modern or it could be whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a little late to totally go, I'm going to go this in a complete different direction. Yeah.
I can agree with the assessment that the musical numbers that we saw so far really did not bring out the darker side of Maryland that does exist,
which is
the reason you would do a Broadway show.
Right, but it still has to stay within that same kind of time period. You know what I mean? Like, it's still historical.
This was a great song for a completely different show.
Yeah, for her album, maybe.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, it was okay, but
hey,
it was
I heard your
like,
demo of that Kobe Calais song. It was amazing.
Okay. Yeah. It's like,
what?
It's not how things really work. And I just really liked the show at first because it did sort of seem like how it really worked. And how heartbreaking, though, that they're going to bring in a star and it's not going to be Ivy. And I mean,
you never know.
That's what they say.
And you never feel all that sympathetic for Ivy, but at the same time, you kind of do. I don't know.
And then you stopped talking.
And then I did. I know. I thought, give you guys a chance.
Okay. I'm glad.
I'm interested in the show. I will still watch it.
I am too. But do you hear they've renewed it for a second season, but the guy who created it, the show's front runner, is leaving after this season?
Oh, wow. An NBC show that has a front runner leaving it.
Yeah. Unheard of in this day and age.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Speaking of similar types of things, Walking Dead. Now, we already talked about the last episode.
We did,
right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, since that happened, okay, I couldn't take it anymore, not knowing and being on the other side. So I have read in the past few days 80 some episodes of The Walking Dead.
Oh my God.
I just decided to just
read. So that's why you were late today.
No, I was at that award ceremony thing. Did I talk about that? Yeah, I did.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yes, you did.
Ooh, brain is like, whoa. But yeah, so had the electronic version of it on my tablet. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes
beautiful
at work. I don't think anybody I work with Like on my lunch break. On my lunch
there
break.
There you go.
On
your lunch break. When you're not on my lunch break at work.
Right. When I'm not on the clock and like other random times when I'm sitting waiting places, I have been reading The Walking Dead. And the tablet that I have, say what I will about, oh, it's not an iPad or whatever, but the tablet format is perfect for reading comics.
Oh, yeah.
You can
zoom
it in. You can see just the page. It was just amazing. And I just enjoyed it very much. I mean, I'm still the type of person that likes to touch a book here and there. You know what I mean?
Does
I'm
a book
currently
like to be touched?
Reading a book. Hey, show hello? Me, show me on the spine so where it touched you.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Richard Book. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Did you hear that Facebook is trying to patent the word book?
And face.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, good luck on that.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway.
What will we call books then?
Paper thingies.
I mean,
folded paper thingies.
I really don't know.
That's just dumb, Facebook. That's just
dumb.
Well,
50 years we won't have
it. And
anyway.
We're going to, well, they're also going to, you know, copyright timelines. So. And time and line
and line
and friends.
So every now and then, as I was reading it, The Walking Dead, that is, and you know, because I know that Billy's already read it, so he'd be like, "Oh, what part are you on?" And I'd be like, "Oh, I'm on the part where this happened." He'd be like, "Oh,
don't you love those descriptions?" Like,
yeah.
Oh.
And obviously, there's some major differences. I mean, Shane, Dale, you know, there's some huge major character differences, but there's also some really similar, you know, kind of things that are going on. Just slight differences like
the walkers.
Yeah, and the walkers in the barn, how that whole thing went down was obviously different.
Okay.
And, you know, the little slight differences, obviously there was no the CDC. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, that whole Woodbury neighborhood, I mean, that was kind of crucial.
Did you read this, Bruce? Or?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you had.
No, he just didn't care about spoilers from the comic.
Oh.
No, you did.
I did
he
care.
Did not.
But I no longer care because I'm good.
Okay. Season one, instead of going to the CDC, they found a nice little gated community.
I think I picked up one copy of it one time and I did see that and I didn't read the whole.
And they're like, oh, it's gated. Oh, there's all these houses and there's all these supplies.
This will
be
fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. So, well, when you're gated inside, and you know, season two could have had them go there before they got to the barn. I'm just saying. You know?
Yeah, but it might have been, I don't know, more expensive to do.
Yeah,
the whole they
yeah, that's why we spent the first half of season two.
Yeah.
This okay. The first half of season two was the equivalent of rock climbing from MST when this movie, this cheap ass movie, has a group of people go to where there's this lost land of dinosaurs, but for like 40 minutes they're climbing a mountain, and then you have your dinosaur adventure, and then for the love of Christ they climb back down the mountain and we watch every detail of it. Hey Joel, rock climbing.
That's a good one. So yeah, so if you thought that the show went there, you have no idea.
You certainly do not.
And as much as I've wanted them to kill Lori on the show.
Yes.
Okay. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. When Lori finally dies in the comic, who knows if they'll do that the same way in the show. When she dies in the comic, I did not celebrate.
Oh, really?
It yeah, she did.
Was.
Well, in the comic, Lori is not. If you read the comic before you saw the show, Lori does have some moments that drive you insane, but you can understand them better. They're not as out of context as it seems to be in the show.
So she doesn't go driving for no damn
reason.
No, she
doesn't. She, oh my God, they've been gone 10 minutes. Go find them. No,
she still doesn't do a great job of keeping an eye on Carl, but she's nowhere near as annoying. And it took me a while. I was really biased against her, sort of, because the character on the TV show, I'm just really not liking where they're going. So it took me a while to kind of come to grips with Lori in the comic. So she's definitely different. And yeah, when she bites it, it was not not pretty. And some of these other things is just.
And she does, that may or may not happen. I mean, hell, you know.
The walkers are the least of our group's problem.
Look who made it to season two that didn't make it to season two in the comics. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. The walkers.
They're the least of our problem.
Because she's definitely. Well, she's past the point now where you really see just how much of a scumbag people as a whole really can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real problem, is that people are scum.
Well, you know, it. A lot of dystopia, post-apocalyptic kind of stories go that route. Where
I
Mad Max,
why.
It's human nature.
It's human nature. It's sad,
Why?
No, I mean, but it does. It bothers me. There are some good people who are trying.
There are.
You know, and I've just gotten to a new community, and there, you know, so that's, we'll see how that goes. I'm sure it's not going to end well.
Because, you know, the Walker Abed is fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool. And I'm dead. Brains. Cool. Yeah, so it's really, really, really good. And I highly recommend, if you haven't picked up the comic because you didn't want to like know and constantly be comparing how it was different.
Now you just need to do it.
You just need to just do it. Just bite the bullet and do it.
They are close enough, but yet different enough animals that you can have both of them and enjoy them.
Right.
Okay.
And I still may, you know, when the next season comes on, I maybe go, oh, that's different, or oh, that shouldn't be happening this fast, or whatever, whatever. But that prison that we saw on the horizon.
It was good times. Basically, look, here's what everybody did. For the love of God, you either read the comics and saw Michonne and went, oh, Jesus, let me go read the comics again.
Yeah.
Or you never read them and saw Michonne and went, oh, my God, I've got to read the comics to see who that is.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
That was what it happened, is it was impatience. I couldn't wait to know what was going to happen. No. So yeah, I was
because
like, no.
Let's not forget, that Michonne showing up on screen is where I went, you know, it's
you had your
like,
curl
oh,
moment.
Dude, you have no clue. That's a zombie. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. So make sure.
Out in the window?
Yeah. Keep talking.
Okay. I don't want there to be really zombie on the wall.
Well, what are you going to do if there is?
Really?
You're going to keep talking. We've got a show to do.
I don't know where I put it.
You don't have a crossbow.
You keep looking.
I know. We also watch Castle because Nathan Fillion is in the show. You know, we watch Castle.
I think I actually skipped that one.
That's a shame. This was the best I've seen. You know, we've had tons of shows where the two leads are always flirting. You know they're going to get together. And
yeah.
They keep coming up with these artificial reasons to split them up.
Yeah.
This was one of the best reasons ever to hit those quick
At
little
first,
reset button to split them up.
I wasn't happy with it, but then the more that I thought about it, you know, it was really good. Will you remember, because you watched Castle, how she said she didn't remember what happened when she got shot to Castle.
Yeah.
But we know that she really did remember because she said it to a different character. Well, Castle finds out that she does remember, but Beckett doesn't know that Castle hurt.
Yes.
Oh.
So he decides means that she didn't like him at all.
She doesn't love him. She doesn't love she. If she loved me back, she would have said something about the fact that he, you know, he said, I love you. Mm-hmm. And so he goes, okay, fine. I'm not going to beat a dead horse anymore and keep banging my head against
He's
the wall
take
trying
a
to
step
go with you.
Back.
I'm gonna step back.
So next episode,
and something else.
Next episode, Beckett is now, well, maybe I should have said something, and of course he's showing up with the women that he was showing up with before.
Okay,
especially
cool.
Because the plot of what's going on in the story, the killer, you know, because there are murder investigations, is one of those things where it really kind of makes you reevaluate, like, life is short, like, you need to, so it was really
and
obvious.
This was a good one.
Yeah.
This was a good mystery, too.
All right.
And
well,
this
then
was
I'll,
the kind
I'll
of thing
it.
That you were like, oh, yeah, that's realistic that you'd want to kind of bare your soul in this circumstance, and then it was a very pretty good realistic, you know, twist of why they didn't do it. So I was happy with this. Esposito and Ryan just in general need more screen time. I love the two of them.
Think they'll get a spinoff?
No, I don't want them to have a spinoff. I just want them to have more screen time. So I reserve the right to chime in later, but I'm going to end my geeky week right there.
McCable.
Okay, well, yesterday I went to a birthday party. This was a birthday party for a girl who turned 24 years old. 23 years old. I'm sorry. She turned 23.
You just lost track after 18, right?
No. Okay. No, I didn't know her then. But all adults at this party. And the first thing that we did. No, what? Because you start. The first thing that happens is they start blowing up about 2 to 3 dozen different balloons.
Okay.
And start throwing them at each other and just playing a balloon. You know, like dodgeball with balloons in a living room. I'm like,
okay,
all right, fine. Sure. Then they started rubbing them on their heads, try to get them to stick to the ceiling.
Okay.
I throw them up just enough so it stick to the ceiling and not bounce off. Was there
alcohol involved?
Some.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
I think it had more to do with the huge ash cake that was there. So I think it was the sugar rush more than anything else.
Oh my god, balloons!
Yeah, pretty much. All of a sudden, balloon fight would just pop out. I was like, and hitting each other with balloons. I'm like,
balloon fight.
Balloon, yeah.
At the balloon fight.
But this is a same place I actually get to go play different types of games. And I got to play a brand new game, a card game called I, Dark Overlord.
Okay.
This is an improvisational game. It uses cards to tell a story. The setup is the Dark Overlord gives a mission to his minions. And the game starts off with all the minions coming back and telling them why they failed on this mission. So they have the cards and like, okay, these are major plot points. You pull out, you put down a card and go, okay, well, this happened, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you can have other action cards where you can take the story to another person so they can start telling the story. Or you could say, no, wait, you forgot to talk about the singing sword, or you forgot to talk about this. And the whole point of the game is not to win, it's just not to lose.
Okay.
The person who gets the three glares from the Dark Overlord loses.
Oh, okay.
So it's hilarious that sometimes you can't move your character over. You can't switch to another person. You just have to stay there. And the Dark Overlord, which I actually played the second time we played this game,
fun.
I knew somebody was stuck, and I just let him swim. Nice. I just let him, like, all right, come on, let's see what happens.
Keep going.
Sooner or later.
Just keep swimming.
And I can actually switch as a Dark Overlord. I can actually say, no, tell me what happened here. And just point, and I can do whatever I want as a Dark Overlord and just go, no, you do this. You tell me.
Okay.
That's a lot of fun.
That sounds like a good drinking game.
I was going to say, it does sound like an asshole.
It is. Community. Yes. I actually saw an episode of Community.
I didn't mean to skip it. I was leaving it for y'all.
Okay.
I actually did get to see the episode of Community with
the impersonators.
Yeah, the impersonators. Yeah. I'm a French dude impersonator. I'm like, wow. That was good.
It was. Really
that
good.
Was funny.
That was quite crazy. And wow, they just always have these, Dad, I knew you were going to bring me the Hulk.
You're more handsome than someone who's famous for being handsome. Especially as much crap as Joel gives Ryan Seacrest on the soup.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was really fun.
I wasn't aware that Ryan Seacrest was known for being handsome. I wasn't aware of that.
No,
I thought he was known for being the non-talented guy on American Idol.
Wait a minute. The non-talented guy on American Idol? Really?
The non-talented host. How's that?
Okay, because they got rid of the other one.
The lead guy. Well, he was always the lead. He was the MC. He doesn't judge the people or anything.
Nope,
he just talks. He's the facilitator.
Yes, he is. He's a facilitator.
I am the facilitator. I will not accomplish anything.
Yeah.
And I will point you in directions.
Yes, and I will collect millions of dollars for doing so.
So you got to give him that.
Yeah. Awake. Have you seen that? You watch
it? Not.
Okay, then I won't talk about it. It's
well, no, we're not watching it, so you can.
It's a good show. I
will probably catch up on it at some point.
Yeah, catch up with it. You'll enjoy it. Thundercats is back.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, brand new
thunder,
episode.
Thunder, thunder, thunder.
It's a brand new episode with just picking up where it left off. They got to introduce a couple of new characters from the old show.
Oh, it's on the DVR because I happened to wake up 2 minutes after it had been on and went, oh God, look at there. There's another season pass I don't have anymore.
Mm.
It's okay.
Did you know that you can only have 50?
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, we got that far.
So we got all your shows there, right?
I thought it was stuff that wasn't on anymore. I'm sorry.
No, you knew it was coming back. You knew it was coming back.
You
knew.
Yep.
You knew that. You just deleted... let's see. All the shows that I like to watch is
well, you should have worked out after her and then just fixed it. Well, it happens.
Yeah. It does.
Young Justice and Green Lantern, both great shows. I'm still trying to deal with the Green Lantern artwork. It's okay.
The Happy Meal.
It's just really shiny.
The Happy Meal artwork.
They look like toys.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. And they introduced the Aya character.
Would it really have
the origin
them?
Of Aya?
Yeah. Sort
would
of
have killed them to do any of the animated films style. Would it have killed them to do that?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Archer season finale.
Woo.
Oh my God, I still love this show. I want this show to come back like tomorrow.
I'm now halfway through season two. So
okay.
So yeah.
So you just loving the show, Archer?
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah.
This is the greatest, dumbest, most fantastic damn thing that's all.
Exactly.
How could you not love Archer? It's just, it's crazy. There's, you know, I could make just nothing but an entire show with just drops from it. So
you really could.
I could. Yeah. I think I picked up like six more.
And you're still on season two.
Yeah.
Breaking In, still a great show.
We watched that as well.
No, because we have the one we did not watch last night because of the various crazy things that have been going on, which we'll get to.
We'll get to.
So tell me one thing. Is Bobby a regular cast member?
He is going to be a recurring character. You'll see him like 5 minutes. No, you'll see him for like 30 seconds.
I don't care. After Role Models, and I saw him do the same exact shtick three other places and then try to host Cartoon Network, I'm done with this kid.
He does the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, but Hollywood loves that.
That's why Kevin Costner
still works.
I'm sorry. Bobby's
the kid
from the last episode.
No, he's not in it.
Oh.
He's not in it at all.
Good.
Yeah, he wasn't in it.
I was so scared.
Because you couldn't tell if they were sort of setting it up for him to be a recurring character.
And you might, an intern. They'll bring him back, I'm sure. Because he was popular. He's going to be popular, but no, they're going to bring him back.
Okay.
Once Upon a Time, yeah.
Well, see, I don't know, because I still haven't watched last week's episode. This week's episode did record. I was here, so oddly enough, nothing weird happened to the DVR since I was at home to look at it. But, I still got to watch last week's episode, which, again, has been difficult catching up with things because of this week.
Yeah, we've been busy.
Yep.
Okay.
Have we solved the murder?
No.
Have we saw, okay, what we think is the murder, I guess, is where I'm still at? Okay, good. Good. So we are in full Twin Peaks mode.
No, not in full Twin Peaks.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Bring me the Black Lodge.
No.
All right. So other than working out and going somewhere after this taping, yeah, it's pretty much been a geeky week.
So you're going to talk about something that you haven't done yet.
It could be a next geeky week.
Well, then you can't talk about it next week.
Okay.
Jerk. So for no particular... Oh, look at there. Archer. It's right there on my list. So I can check that off. Smash. I can check that off. Sucker Punch. Check that off. All right. So I watched the 1942 Ginger Rogers Roxy Hart, which you might best know as Chicago, because they made a musical off of this story.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Phil Silvers is also in this. Nigel Bruce, who was Watson to Basil Rathbone, is in this. It's not a musical per se, but it is the story of Roxy Hart and, you know,
and
killing
and
Billy Flynn. And you know, she's a dancer, so yeah. So it's a fun time, but it's weird, you know. It's like this was the big, huge thing then versus, I mean, that wouldn't play now. That just wouldn't play now. That's how that works. So Kid Icarus for the Nintendo 3DS is out.
Yes.
And dear God, is it psychotically fun.
Awesome.
Psychotically fun.
It's weird. Like, they've turned it into, like, this sort of shooter. Like, there's flying stages, there's walking stages. So wrap your brain around this control scheme. So the left thumbstick controls Kid Icarus.
Yeah.
The left shoulder button fires. To aim, you use the stylus on the pad at the bottom to aim for it.
Wait. Okay.
Right.
When did we go with third arm?
Well, hold on. What do you mean third arm? No. Because you hold it like this. You've got the thumb on the left thumbstick, the finger on the left shoulder button, and the stylus on the touchpad at the bottom.
Okay, got that.
Now, you know, they did make the new second circle pad for the 3DS, which if you have, you can use to for left-handed people to play with the right side. There is no use the dual stick option in this game, which does seem a little weird, except for the fact that you won't care because there's so many crazy things to blow up and weird weapons and just... This is not the Kid Icarus that you knew. This is not your dad's, so it's not my Kid Icarus.
You're the dad now.
But it is. But it's I don't know. It's you know, the 3DS is a year old now, and it's a fantastic system. And whatever Sony is about to screw up is not going to be nearly as good. It's just not.
Hello, it's just not.
Okay, so let's get to the reason why I'm behind on a bunch of stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
The NCAA tournament. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, we have been watching a lot of basketball.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm from North Carolina, the heart of college basketball.
Yeah.
The ACC, the first basketball league ever, anywhere, ever. We were the first. We're the greatest. It's just how that is.
All right, whatever.
And so, yes, this is my time where, you know, it's nothing but basketball. It's nothing but college basketball. Yeah, everyone's bracket is screwed up. But overall, I did have Kansas winning the whole thing this year because I just think it's their year. And then I'd be damned if they didn't knock out UNC, which made me sad. But
your bracket still works.
But I was right. So,
yeah, hey, once VCU got knocked out, I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Well, I'm sure you didn't care, but this was like the weirdest one, like for all the massive upsets, like, you know, the low seed. I don't care what they say. A 16 seed did beat a 1 seed, except the refs gave it to the 1 seed. Because UNC...
Hey, two 15 seeds did beat two seeds.
Right,
but a 16
before,
has never beat
a 1.
Yeah.
Ever. Mm-hmm. And they did this time. Mm-hmm. They were ahead. The other team, I've already forgot what, sorry, Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Syracuse passes the ball in.
Yeah.
Hits a Syracuse guy.
Yeah.
Goes out. They still call it Syracuse ball. It is blatantly obvious.
Oh.
Blatantly obvious. They score, they win. It was UNC Asheville or something like that? Some school.
I don't even remember.
You never heard of.
Right. And their coach is like, you know, they are better than us. But tonight, we were better than them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess it is easy to win when you have 8 players on your team, 3 of them being referees.
Yes. Zebras!
I'm just saying, that was bullshit. Where's my replay for college basketball, okay?
They use it sometimes, but they can only use it on certain things.
But that's stupid!
Yeah.
When it's an obvious call that the Jumbotron catches, and they apologize. Oh, we were sorry, we made the wrong call. Well, that doesn't do any good.
No, it doesn't do any good whatsoever.
You sons of bitches.
Were the refs still working the next day?
Yeah.
Did they have kneecaps?
Did UNC Asheville play the next day? No. Then your apology was for shit.
Yes.
It was for shit.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I will be catching up on stuff because another thing that's been taking up a lot of my time is finally over. And that was the play that I was in.
The play.
The play.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to say the name. I'm not going to call it a bunch
Caligula.
Of names. I will say, for everyone that knows me and you know, if you were a castmate of mine and you were the crew, I have a lot of mad props to give you unless you happen to be the one person of the crew who was also the director. Because you know how I've often joked about people being crazy?
It's joked? Yes.
Yes, joked. Because as it turns out, I've always joked. Because this past Sunday night, for the first time in my life, and hopefully the last, I stared into the eyes of a sociopath.
Oh, really?
Because at 1 o'clock at the Enrico Theater, I'm there. At 1:15, I'm laying out props on a table, and the director walks up to me, sends the person that's helping me away, looks me in the eye and says, I'm going to pay you after the second performance, but you got to leave immediately, turns around and walks away.
What?
Exactly. And it only got weirder after that. It only got weirder. This psychotic woman, I don't know what her damage was, Heather, but dear Lord.
Yeah.
5 minutes before the curtain is supposed to go up.
Yes.
We do a mic check. We're wearing mics? There were four people who were supposed to wear mics, as long as we've ever been told. No, the entire cast was fitted with head mics. 5 minutes.
And the mics really did not work.
Because we didn't get to do the mic check. Because 5 minutes after, she's stumbling around, stomping, blah, blah, blah. I'm so mad. I can't. We're late, and I didn't want to be late. This has me so upset. Then proceeds to go back into the dressing room for 40 minutes to get dressed and put on makeup. We started an hour late, but that's okay, because there was pre-show entertainment. How was that?
There were not one, but two praise dances.
There were.
If you don't know what praise dance is, you should just Google it, because I don't even want to talk about it. And then there was a poet who I'm pretty sure was a drag queen.
Well, she was very, very tall, and she looked like a man. Little.
She did. Okay. She didn't have nice Adam's apple, but you know.
Nice point.
Okay. All right.
Good point.
And then some rappers.
Yep.
Some kid rappers.
Now, there was supposed to be, because part of the proceeds for this was going to a charity, because it did deal with some dark stuff.
She probably didn't pay them either.
Oh, I'm sure she didn't. Yes, she tried to steal the cash box, but I don't know. I'm going to keep going. So part of this pre-show entertainment was supposed to be pre-show, and part of it was supposed to be intermission. It all had to get put to the front.
Yes.
Because Diva was in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Then Diva decides to start talking over other people, start giving herself extra lines, start saying other people's lines, which was really, really, really fun. But the best part was the curtain call. Where the curtain's closed and you start bringing out all the cast.
Well,
You bring her out first and she got some applause.
Mm-hmm.
Then they brought out the lady she hates the most in the play.
Yeah.
And she got applause.
Oh.
And that pissed her off so bad. The entire theater watched her dart her eyes and look. She threw her off the stage, made her go back behind the curtain. So we're all getting called up, and and I come back, and at one point she's yelling at her. She's telling her to get out of the theater. She tries to put her hands on her. We have to get in and put it like, whoa. This crazy woman. This is a fundraiser, right?
Yes.
To help people, right?
Yes.
This crazy woman cancels the second show.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cancels
Why?
The second show. Because okay. she's insane.
Okay.
During intermission, she did try to go steal the cash box that was brought by the stage manager to take all the money that was in there. Oh, that would be the $100 in change that the stage manager put in there to make change for people buying tickets.
Yes.
Yeah. This was her box. She has the only key. Yes. The director of our play tried to go take this cash box during intermission. Okay. So after I'm standing in the hallway, I've got all my stuff. She comes barreling down a hallway, walks right up to me, is like, get out, and starts to walk away. I'm like, no, you said you were going to pay me, and then I had to get out. She turns around, says to me, if I want to get paid, I got to take her to court. That trash like me doesn't belong in her theater.
Uh-huh.
And I have 5 minutes to get out before she calls the cops.
Yeah.
She called the cops.
So, in other words, 4.5 minutes later...
She called the cops.
Okay.
I had the cops called.
Wow.
I was standing outside when the cops pulled up, and Bonnie over here backs up and is like, the cops are here, time to go. And I'm like, well, I could talk to the cops, but then I don't really want to talk to the cops. So, yeah, boom. Yeah, woman is a psychotic and insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyone acting in the Richmond area, if you'd like to contact me privately, because I'm not going to say anything over the air... That she could possibly find and want to use. Because she did finally, after the next day, after a long, long, long email exchange, in which I remained very calm, and she looked like the psychotic bitch that she is.
Yeah.
She finally agreed she is going to pay everybody after all.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the next day she did send an email to the entire cast and crew, telling us all what an awful job we did, how we ruined and desecrated her play. and how immediately after the play, everyone in the audience walked up to her and said what a great play it was, but she had such an awful cast.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
She had a break with reality.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I would say so. So now her thing is, I'm a liar. She mm-hmm. always said she was going to pay us, and she was yeah. always going to pay us by mailing us our money 30 days after. So,
no,
so 31 days after, y'all taking her to court.
So she asked everybody for the address to mail the payment to.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave her an address where I can receive email, but not where I live, because this bitch is psychotic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for not giving her our home address.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no, that wasn't happening. So, moving on to something better, the next night I had an audition for a play. Didn't get, but it was really good. I got some good feedback. It was nice. Friday, I'll be for 3 hours working on a video shoot for a corporate training video.
Okay, cool.
And today, I just did my lines for the next episode of Star Trek Miami. So if you swing on over to Sci-Fi Audio, or if you know David Smith, just tell him what a great guy he is, because these shows are damn funny. And I'm going to go ahead and spoil this for you and let you know that episode 5 is our Mirror Universe episode.
Yes!
In fact,
did you get to wear the... You actually had to shave off your goatee when you recorded this one?
No. No. Because I don't want to spoil... You really... It's a very funny show. I think it is. And not just because I'm there. Put it this way. Episode 5 is entitled Through the Parallel Mirror Looking Glass Darkly. So when that comes out...
Hang on. Through the
parallel mirror looking glass darkly. Think about it. That's pretty much every mirror episode title matched into one.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Okay. It's quite beautiful. So, I'm sure there's things that I've probably forgotten, but school, a play, a psychotic person, you know, in NCAA basketball, you kind of got to forgive me.
Yeah, that's all crazy.
That's exactly how that stuff goes. So, yes, indeed.
From Alderaan to Krypton. From Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
So the plunging of the servers. So last week we do the Scott Sigler episode.
These are one of those moments where you wish it was a podcast.
Videocast.
She said vodcast.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I heard podcast.
You hear what you want to hear, Bruce.
Yeah. Okay.
You hear the P. Last week we did the Sigler episode, and then I go to type up show notes, and no, that can't be done. So we get talking to Siegfried because we've been having this problem, you know, for our fans. You know, you've seen every now and again that you've gotten a virus warning, especially if you use Internet Explorer. And can I ask you a question now? What in God's name are you doing using Internet Explorer? Aren't you a geek? Thank you.
I know, right?
So as it turns out, we have a nasty little piece of code that has embedded itself into one of the admin files.
Mm-hmm.
So PRS is having to take everything off of the server, completely scrub it, completely rebuild it, admin files and all, from the beginning. So this episode you might have heard a day late too, because I don't know how long that takes. That does take a while. Also, we're going to some cons, and I can tell you about them now, but maybe we'll talk about them later.
Foreshadowing.
Uh-huh. How about that? That's good stuff. You like that?
Yeah, that's
we also left out all of our geeky sweet stuff related to the main topic, obviously.
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah,
yes. Including the... Well, no.
Saw a movie.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So, tons of people believe that life came to Earth from someplace else. But, you know, there's always been a problem with that.
Okay.
Proof.
Oh, the tesky, pesky thing. You don't need proof.
Whether it was
faith.
An omnipotent
being. Your new story
being...
is that we've discovered proof of aliens?
No, not aliens. However, new research by NASA being presented at the ACS spring meeting, Dr. Jennifer Black and her team have shown that amino acids we know are on board meteoroids can survive the trip to becoming meteorites. Meaning, we have found some very, very old meteoroids that are now meteorites that were meteoroids back around the time of the Big Bang. So the amino acids that existed then could possibly still exist in these things right now. So if we could get a sample from those, we could possibly figure that out or create the most hellacious version of Jurassic Park you've ever seen.
Thinking. Oh, that would be so good.
Either way, it's going to be a sci-fi movie. Quote, our research shows that the building blocks of life could indeed have remained intact despite the tremendous shockwave and other violent conditions at comic impact. Comets really would have been the ideal packages for delivering ingredients for the chemical evolution that have resulted in life. We like the Comet delivery scenario because it includes all the ingredients for life, amino acids, water, and energy. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
I hadn't heard that.
I know.
Huh.
Because it's not the story you said you were going to do. So I'm like, that's mine, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because who cares if Terra Nova's really canceled? Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What about a... What a...
Mug Jay.
Screw you guys.
I thought it was awesome that you did that.
Yeah. So my new story is actually really cool. Scientists in France have been experimenting with the phenomena of cloaking, but not like, you know, the Romulans or anything like that. They're talking about a thermal cloak that can actually, you know, the way that it can disperse heat, or the different technology can actually make it so that, you know, heat doesn't interact with a certain area. And what it's kind of like
a Narf but from outside.
And it has to do with sort of like it's sort of like an invisibility cloak if someone were to be using a thermal
scanner. Yeah.
You know, so the predator wouldn't be able to find you if you had on this suit.
It's called mud.
Where am I? Oh.
So it has to do, you know, it goes, this heat diffuses around the invisibility region, is protected from heat. It's either going to be, you know, a suit for the predator, or it's going to be the world's coolest oven mitt. But one way or another, this thermal cloak can hide objects from heat.
Can I have two thumbs on that cloak? Just so I can stick the other hand somewhere when I walk around with it on?
Maybe. well, you know, we have to, you know, the Model 2, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, I had to clear my throat here for a second.
Let me clear my throat.
All right, in the 1880s, Alexander Graham Bell and his associates in Washington, D.C.'s Volta Laboratory experimented with different methods of audio recording.
I bet they did.
These 19th century audio engineers immortalized snippets of nursery rhymes and Shakespearean soliloquies.
Yeah, it's a tough word.
Yes, experience soliloquies.
I had to say unquestioningly today, and it was in a line, a dramatic line, and it was messing me up so bad.
Mm-hmm. They recorded them to wax discs. Well, these recordings have been held at the National Museum of American History Archives for decades, but thanks to 21st century audio wizardry, researchers have been able to...
Oh, I'm sorry, did you want...
Yes, I did.
Were you looking for that?
I was waiting for that one. Researchers have been able to bring back 6 of the 200 different Volta recordings. The museum.
One of them was, let me clear my throat.
Well, this team from the Library of Congress and Lawrence Berkeley's National Laboratory have been carefully playing these discs, and they've been hearing recordings that one is a man pronouncing the word barometer.
Okay.
And the other one... it's the 11th day of March, 1885.
Wow.
It is unclear if these voices of the Volta recordings are actually Alexander Graham Bell.
Oh, that would be cool.
But it's not improbable.
Okay.
So, we have recordings from, 140 some odd years ago.
That's pretty badass. That's pretty badass. And see, there's all kinds of fun stuff you can learn like that. For instance, if you roll over to the forums at geekradiodaily.com, all these other fun places we have, you'll learn even more things because we try to keep you in the loop. For instance, go over to Facebook, learn about the Sony Orbis, learn about the Millennium Falcon, and learn about the politician who's not going to let his 9-foot-tall, 8-fingered alien mother interfere with his duties. That's right. It's all at geekradiodaily.com.
He said duties.
I did.
Ooh, could that be email coming my way?
Why not? Dear Bruce.
Wow.
I was replacing the Pittman Idler upper ball joints, rotors, and pad ends this weekend on my truck. I saw a chipmunk and immediately thought of the nest in your air intake and launched into a fit of uncontrollable laughter. That's from Ryan. See, it wasn't about you breaking vehicles. That's what you thought.
No, I was just wondering where the heck it was going.
You weren't thinking about you breaking vehicles you do so often?
No, I don't do it often.
Do you have an email about Bruce breaking vehicles?
I have an email about something else.
Oh, okay.
Hey,
how are you doing?
This one's from Amber. It says, hey guys, here's our Facebook page with the AllCon 2012 photos. And I'll put the link up. It's a cosplay podcast. I'm going through all the video. It's like 10 gigs worth of stuff. So that'll take a bit longer to piece together so we don't look like amateurs. I would let you know that if you guys were a video podcast, so I could ask for pointers. For Flintstress, I attended the Assassination City Roller Derby Girls panel where they gave us a rundown of roller derby, what they do and how they do it. I felt bad for them skating on the tiny wooden floor that was rigged up up in the hotel, but I suppose it was better than nothing. I wonder how Flintsters would have done in the push-up contest. At any rate, it was a good con, and I took second place in my category in the costume contest.
Good dress.
Good congrats. To know that Lord of the Rings is still well-respected. Already prepping for my next con, that's from Amber.
Well, without and pictures.
I'm pretty strong. Not so much on the push-ups, but, you know.
Oh, no, I would be great to push-up contest. You mean the little ice creams?
Yes, yes. How well can you lick those?
Oh, dude.
The Flintstone push-ups?
I'll put a damage on those, motherfucker, right there.
That's it.
Oh, okay. Well, so if you would like to drop a note, please do. It's podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flintsters, all at geekradiodaily.com. Everyone rested their voices this week, but if you'd like to send a voicemail, that number is
206-3-FUN-HECK.
I'm sorry, it's what now?
206-3-FUN-HECK.
One more time so they can finish.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
Calling online.
Now, with a look at the many places you can go to get your geek on.
Are you sure this is a sci-fi convention? It's full of nerds.
It's the GRD nerds. Con Report.
Oh, God. You shouldn't laugh at your own stuff.
But yeah.
But I don't mean to be Jimmy Fallon, but that was
wow.
Funny.
Because I got help on it.
I did finish it before I laughed, so.
Well, exactly, yeah. Right. You actually didn't start laughing before you told the joke because exactly. You knew what it was going to be.
Yeah.
All right, it's the GRD Con Report. Let's start with the weekend of the 5th through the 8th of April, 2012. You have Norwest Con in Seattle, 35 in Seattle, Washington. It's the Pacific Northwest premier science fiction fantasy convention, with the largest regional science fiction fantasy conventions in the U.S., You also have
Sucker's huge.
FrolicCon in Atlanta, Georgia. At
the land of Galilee?
No, close. At FrolicCon, you can expect parties, games, educational classes, Rocky Horror, geekery, freakery,
yeah!
And anything else that just give yourself a fun time. Leprechaun 28 in Tempe, Arizona. Oh, trust me. Look up FrolicCon.
I've heard of it.
Oh. Leprechaun 28 in Tempe, Arizona. It's the annual Arizona Sci-Fi Fantasy Convention with the emphasis on science fiction fantasy art. There's Minicon 47 in Bloomington, Minnesota.
It's only this tall.
It's a little bit. It's a fan-run science fiction fantasy convention run by the Minnesota Science Fiction Society. And the final one for this group here is ShakuraCon. This, yeah.
And the hips don't lie.
I know, right?
Yeah. This,
underneath
it's in Seattle,
nose.
Washington. It's the annual, it's the Asian Northwest Cultural and Education Association, proudly presented by the Northwest Premier Japanese Animation and Cultural Festival.
As no way, Ed Japan. Oh.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I was thinking about the entire
Takashi-san.
Oh, okay. Oh.
You really have to see that stupid-ass bit on Saturday Night Live. You really, really do.
I've got some cons for the weekend of April 13th to the 15th.
Okay.
I'll start with Ad Astra in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. If you're up in that parts A, you can go to that con. Also in Lake Charles, Louisiana? L.A. is Louisiana.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm tired. Anyway, it's a SyphaCon, and that also sounds like it could be cool if you're in that area.
So a whole convention where people siphon gas out of each other's?
It's spelled C-Y-P-H.
Oh,
okay. So it's got
some
Greek, you know,
like
something
ciphers,
like that.
You know.
Ciphers. Yeah, maybe it's about codes.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Do you know the code?
Well, if we could figure it out.
Yeah.
There's Constellation. Onwards.
I see what they
did. In Lincoln,
there.
Nebraska, also on that weekend. And the one that we'll be attending April 13th to the 15th, RavenCon in Richmond, Virginia.
Of that one. Yeah.
And did you see special media guest Nikki Klein?
Yes, I did.
So maybe hopefully she'll be on the show and I can actually meet her.
Yeah, I would really like for you two to meet. That would be great.
That'd
you two
be great.
Would be such pals, I believe.
Yes.
Would say the
do
numbers.
Do they have a hot tub at the Koger Center?
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Not that I've already checked or anything.
Mm.
No, not in the slightest.
Well, we can do the numbers together.
Yes. You certainly. Well, you could practice it right now, actually, if you'd like to. I mean,
go ahead.
Would you like to?
Sure. 206-3-FUN-HECK.
See? That's not bad, considering it's at a different meter than what you do. But all right. The next weekend, April 20th through the 22nd, Conglomeration in Louisville, Kentucky. I don't know why I want to say that. God, that's so crazy. In the USA. I like how you told me it was the USA.
Hey,
I had a Canada one.
Yeah, we got Canada.
I know, but okay.
We actually got them in different countries as well.
Also, MeepaCon at Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. Meepa. It's a general board RPG and card game con. Good times. Let's see. Also that same weekend, Blood on the Beach in Virginia Beach, Virginia. The East Coast premier horror convention where you can meet the film industry's top-notch horror icons from past and present. That is actually the 20th through the 22nd, not the 30th, which means I will not be there.
Through
yeah,
the 32nd.
We're doing a little roller derby expo out there, too.
Oh.
Corflu Glitter in Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't know what that means at all. Not in the slightest.
I don't name these.
Sounds awesome.
Philk, Ontario, 22 in Toronto. That's in Ontario.
Canada.
In Canada. It's Toronto, Ontario, Canada. How could it be three places? That doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't know.
Odyssey Con in Madison, Wisconsin will happen that same weekend. And hey, someplace that I'll
It'll
be...
It'll happen that weekend and forever and ever and ever afterwards because it's the Odyssey.
Ah, I see what you did there. Starfest will be in Denver, Colorado. Fantastic time. We're going to have... Jonathan Frakes is going to be there.
Excellent.
John Noble's going to be there. Ooh, wait, can I say that one? I don't know that I can say that one, but he's going to be there.
And wow, him?
Well, someone that has guessed it on The Big Bang Theory. How's that? How about that?
That
say it that
limits
way.
It down a little bit.
There, it does.
Yeah.
It does. But not as much as you
but
would
not
think.
Not as much as you think.
Now that you think about
it. Is it that one?
It is not.
Okay. All right.
It's the other one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I got that one. I'm good.
Cool.
All right. On the final weekend for this month, April 26th through 29th, there is Recon in Cocoa Beach, Florida. This convention is put on by the Historical Miniature Gaming Society, Southern Chapter
They're
of the
that
United
big.
States. Yeah, really, really small.
Sorry, I'm going to stop doing that joke now.
Penguicon, Dearborn, Michigan. It's it's a week.
It's all about Burgess Meredith.
No,
it's good time.
Oh, that would be great.
The Penguin Con.
Yes. The week-long Linux user group meeting with 100 of other geeks. And you have the Windy City Pulp and Paperback Convention in Lombard, Louisiana.
Ooh, got to get that Lombard support. Yeah.
Lombard, Illinois.
I was going to say, it has to be at least sort of near Chicago.
Yes, it does. The Pulp, Paperback, Original Art, Movie Memorabilia, Science Fiction, Popular Culture, and a whole lot more.
The Popelback. That's good stuff. So yeah, those are all the places that you can go. And if you know of a con that we've missed that's going to be coming up, you should let us know, because a couple people did. We have a couple on there that people let us know about. Like, hey, you guys do cons, so here you should do that. So we'd love to do that because, you know, we're helpful.
We are.
Sure. So, yeah, we are going to come up with the name of the episode since we know what we're talking about, but we're going to take a little break and figure that all out while you get entertained. So don't move. No, don't move.
Move.
Hi, everyone. This is Morgan.
And this is Chris.
And here at the Twisted Geeks, we do what geeks do best. And what's that, Chris?
We just sit here, do a podcast every week, giving you our opinions on geek entertainment and culture, while we do nothing else about it.
Sounds like fun to me. And you can find out more about us at TwistedGeeks.com.
Because nobody else can tell you our opinion on what's going on in the geek culture out there right now.
You said it.
So, as Morgan told you, go to www.twistedgeeks.com to get the right opinion on everything that we feel is important.
This is Scott Sigler, the author of Infected, Contagious, Ancestor, and Nocturnal, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily. And I will probably be in your bedroom and kill you later.
Boys and fighting to the death and kissing the Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games is now a home game. Slaughter your opponents, survive at all costs, and find out who's got a crush on you.
Just like Katniss Everdeen.
Ooh, they're choosing tributes to fight. Oh, I hope Peeta will be there.
Duh. Failure to attend is punishable by public whipping.
Plus, he's totally into you.
Collect clues about your secret admirer and find out how he's planning to kill you.
Thresh has bludgeoned your opponent to death with a rock.
Ooh la la, somebody like me.
Shut up.
Does my secret crush have all his limbs?
Uh-huh. Yeah. See you later, you, and you.
Get boy tips from Hunger Games champ and broken alcoholic Haymitch Abernathy.
The fastest way to a boy's heart is between the third and fourth rib with a sharp arrow.
Guess wrong and spin the wheel.
I got brown urine from dehydration.
So embarrassing.
Last long enough and become the most wanted girl in Pan Am.
OMG, Gail's calling me.
Katniss, my family's starving.
He knows my name!
Love is a battlefield when you play the Hunger Games game.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
And don't forget, Cinna's Makeover Boutique, available wherever bag toys are sold.
And welcome back to GRD's Weekly episode.
154?
In which, yes,
yep.
We are going to be talking about the Hunger Games,
the movie.
Because I have not read the books.
Neither have I.
Okay, so you're the only one that's read
the books.
I have read the books.
So this is going to be a deconstruction of the movie.
The movie.
Because apparently there's one or two differences.
Yeah, one or two.
So first off, we have to start by saying that we became part of the 1% to go see this movie.
How
so?
No, we definitely went to the 1% theater in Richmond.
We went to Cinebistro.
We went to Cinebistro. Have you ever been there before?
No.
Okay, it is a chain, and there are some Cinebistros in the area. Okay, you have to be 21 and up to go to Cinebistro.
Good.
So no screamy teeny boppers, no Team PETA, Team Gale, none of that crap.
Nope.
Okay? They serve alcohol there, which you wouldn't care about, but other people that you know probably would.
Yeah.
They serve really good food.
Yeah.
Oh, really, my God. Good food. Really, really
good food. And popcorn in these, like, porcelain bowls. The way that it works is you get there, like, a little bit early. You order your entire thing, and you just pay for it right then and there.
Okay, good.
They give you all the food, and you just kind of work your way through it because, when you're going through the movie.
Because you sit in the theater in almost a lazy boy. It doesn't
these
kick back all the way.
Yeah. Comfortable chairs.
That sort of rock.
With those things, like, at the school where it comes across
the
you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can set all your food down on.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, your little drink holder thing as well.
Oh.
Yeah. Your popcorn and your drinks are unlimited. You have, they'll bring them to you before the movie starts. Once the movie starts, if you want refills, you've got to leave and go get it yourself.
Go get your ass.
But they've got a little station like right outside the theater next to the bathroom.
Okay, cool.
So
yeah, we're good with that.
And the food was really, really good. It was expensive. I mean, this is not
you're paying
every now and then thing. Right. I mean, this is not a you go every single weekend kind of a
And event. What we did learn, because I was sitting a little too close to the screen, you, when you buy your tickets, you pick your seats when you buy your tickets.
So
your
you can get there whenever,
your
and you don't have to get there like early
seat.
And get in line.
Oh.
You get seats, you know, C3 and C4.
So we were a little closer than I thought, so I had to watch the movie, the last half of the movie, not in my seat because it was, I was
too
like,
close,
oh.
It was hurting your eyes.
Ooh, it
so,
was.
Yeah.
It was hurting my eyes. I was like, no, I can't
Yeah,
do
you
that.
Weren't the only person that had problems with the movie, the visual of the movie.
Well, it wouldn't have been so bad, but some of the more interesting dynamic parts where tons of crap is happening, that's when it got me, because then I was very close and that was happening.
Well, they did it on purpose, you know, to make it feel kind of chaotic and stressful.
I'm not even talking
about cover up the R.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about that part. I'm talking about the beginning of the movie. What's with shooting the movie on the back of a horse? The damn shaky cam.
Oh.
There was no reason for it.
No, it was to make it real and put you in the action.
Oh, please. There was no action. There was no real action going on. I'm like, really? I was getting motion sick.
I don't know about you, but since you read the book, would you like to give us your impression of the movie before we talk about the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say that I enjoyed the movie very much, and my impression from the movie was that there was a lot left out. I mean, you take a huge book and you turn it into, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hour movie, you've got to leave things out. You couldn't have cut it in half, because no one wants to watch the first half of the movie where you haven't gotten to the Hunger Games yet.
Really?
You know what I mean? But at the same time, if you didn't know the characters because you've read the book, I think it would be harder to kind of understand their motivation. Basically, having read the book, I was able to fill in the blanks and make inferences and go, okay, I know why this character is making this decision because I know this character really well because I read the books. But if I didn't, it's not there explicitly in the movie.
Which is why I wanted to set this up this way, folks, because as talking about the movie only, I'm going to go ahead and jump to my rating before I talk about it.
Okay.
I gave this movie a 5. However, if you've read the books, it's probably a 7 for you. Because
And I think that after you've seen the movie, if you were to then read the books, you might even appreciate the movie more than you did.
Now I want to skip the rest of these movies entirely and just read these books, because there is a good story. I can see there's an interesting story in there.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure.
Dear God.
Okay, I mean, if you think of like the breadth of movies that exist, obviously tons of movies have been made about books, and then, you know, there's this handful of young adult series kinds of books. Okay,
so
Harry Potter, I think we can all agree, was done really very well.
Yes.
Okay, Twilight,
we never
not
saw.
Well,
I saw,
we saw
Twilight.
The first movie, and that's
it.
All that we've
and
seen.
I read Twilight.
Right?
Yeah,
it's
I know.
A better book,
I know,
than it is a movie,
and
but it's still not a great book.
It's not a great book at all.
And then there's Percy Jackson and the Olympians, which I really enjoyed the book and the series very much.
And
the
you
movie
hated
was
the movie.
Crap. And also in that same category would be Aragon.
Yep.
So, I mean, you put Hunger Games certainly on the closer to the Harry Potter spectrum.
It
you know,
is.
Like visually, they got all of it right as far as how I imagined it would look on the screen.
Well, the
that
fact
part
the
was
color of some people.
Okay, no. Stop that right now.
Okay.
Stop it right now.
Go ahead.
Because I'm tired of this goddamn racist, stupid people.
That's what I wanted to bring up.
What? I actually saw, and I threw this on Facebook.
It's one blog post.
No. You didn't see. No, you should go to Facebook, follow Billy Flynn, the wonderful Billy Flynn, on Facebook, and look for where I posted this article where people took just a bunch of different comments from Twitter. My favorite one being, why did they have to make Rue black? It kind of ruined the movie for me.
Yeah. I'm like,
what?
This is what I want to bring up.
Specifically that she had dark skin and dark hair and, you know, I mean, basically said that she was black.
If anybody was the wrong color, it was probably Jennifer Lawrence, who I believe is described somewhat closer
olive
to a Native
skin.
American.
Yeah,
olive skin
black
is what
hair
I thought.
And olive skin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least she dyed her hair black.
Oh, that's good.
So,
yeah.
so there's that. I'm sorry.
And she, yeah, you blowing up on me. I'm
oh,
like,
you're like, I'm like, wait a minute, Bruce.
Yeah, yeah, no. I'm
don't
just,
fall into this.
Oh, God, no, I'm not. I'm just saying the fact that people were taking a secondary character, and yes, she is a secondary character. Sorry if I offended anybody. But, and they change her nationality a little bit. I mean, this is ridiculous to go crazy on this.
The bigger problem of this is, really, I mean, this is bigger than Thor, because Thor, when they made Heimdall black, and oh, he's a Norse god, how can he be black?
Yeah.
Okay, in some small, stupid way, you kind of have a point, but it's a goddamn movie about Norse gods fighting in a world with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So
right.
Shut up.
It's all fictitious anyway.
Yeah, really.
But she's described in it as dark skin. If anything, they made it a little bit lighter. So basically what I'm getting, and this, of course, is just my snap judgment here, is that you read the book, and even though it said that she might be black, you in your mind made a little white girl that you loved and you cared about,
and then
when bad things happened, you were heartbroken, and then you saw her as a black girl not matching your expectations, and for some reason, that made it less of a person, less of a character.
Which is garbage.
I would say it was the screenplay that made her less of a character than a person. You're a jackass.
Right. We got zero background character development on any of the other tributes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, there was none. There was all of a sudden also serving, you know, this person and this person and this person and this person. Like, who the hell are these people? And actually, in the movie, it didn't really matter, honestly.
Right. And that's kind of a problem, because I think what people, from what I understand, what people enjoyed was that they weren't just carbon cutout copy cliche.
Yeah, but they're just number
like
this person.
The rich kids.
Yeah, from
you,
one
you
and two.
You couldn't have done something to show that maybe they have problems or whatever. Let me go down my list of crap here.
Okay, go ahead.
First off, let's get this out of the way. I was wrong about something.
Okay.
I was always worried that The Hunger Games was going to be a watered-down version of Battle Royale. I was wrong. It's a watered-down version of Battle Royale mixed with Running Man. Remember Stephen King, Running Man?
Yeah. Oh,
Richard Dawson's the host?
Yeah, exactly. I remember that movie.
In fact, this film was done better. If you want to see dystopian futures with a game show format, may I recommend Death Race? No.
The original.
1975.
Yes, with
Death
Sylvester
Race.
Stallone and
God, David Carradine.
David Carradine,
that's
one.
Paul Bartel directed, yeah. I want to say. All
the
right.
That's not Asian. Yeah.
Right off the bat. This is The Hunger Games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the hunger? Thank you.
We didn't plan that.
Right.
We knew this is coming up.
In two instances, they did not make life in District 12 miserable enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't make the Hunger Games dismal enough. I mean, they go for a really long time without any food. I mean, she's eating bugs and I mean, like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
By the end of it, when they're about to, you know, eat the berries, they barely even look dirty.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. These are people who are supposed to be in there for what? How long is the actual Hunger Games?
It's more than, you know, what it makes
it
seem.
Looked
like
2 weeks.
Days?
Like 2 weeks
I'd
to
have
me.
To go back and look at it. Because they
montage the beginning of it where she's sleeping here.
That's true.
So that was adding to
they
the time.
They didn't make it seem long enough, and they could have. I don't know if it needed more montage or what it needed, more interaction with the other tributes. I don't know. It was just kind of like they ran out of time.
Okay,
it's called the freaking Hunger Games.
These two starving children, because... they don't look like they're starving all that much. Nobody's emaciated in this movie at all.
Hungry?
No.
Don't play games with me. Hunger Games.
Yeah, I got it. they go on this train, this opulent train, with all this beautiful food and a beautiful layout, and they just stand there. If you give two hungry children food, you know what they're going to do?
Like
they're going to eat.
Some kind of reaction.
Like in Jurassic Park, when they walk in and just see the food, they're like, and that was after a night of dinosaur attacks.
Yes,
Not after weeks of people hunting you down trying to kill you. I ask where the hunger is because we kept getting the flashback to Katniss outside of PETA's little store.
Right.
And while she does look like she's in pain, she could just have a stomach cramp. She could be sad.
She could be in the rain.
I wasn't getting hungry.
Yes.
And I didn't see a lot of people in District 12 who look like...
They were hungry?
You know how we joke about how at cons there's some well-fed brown coats?
Yes.
Well, there weren't. It wasn't that bad, but...
Yeah.
I mean...
Nobody was hurting.
people have like muscles and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, where, how are you? Okay.
Nobody was emaciated. Nobody was gaunt.
I mean, who are they going to hire for this then? You know, supermodels and anorexics? I mean, like, you don't want people to actually really look like that. But they, I guess they could have sort of CGI'd it a little bit.
They could have done
makeup. Makeup, like, in shadowing and that
exactly.
Kind of stuff.
Put a little, you know, shading under the cheeks.
It just, even that part of it, they just, like I said, it just wasn't dismal enough. It just didn't seem like, you needed this juxtaposition of what life is like in District 12 and what life is like in the Capitol. And
yeah, that's another thing I said. They needed to be more difference between the opulence of the Capitol and the subject poverty of District 12 and the rest of the districts.
The biggest problem was that this movie was just painted with big, broad strokes. I don't think they were trying to pick up a new audience. They knew they had a book audience,
right?
Yeah.
And they knew all those people would come in and, hey, folks, here's the stuff you read about. It's on the screen.
Yes.
Now, that's probably just because they're waiting to sell us the Blu-ray director's cut with 40 minutes more footage.
Which I would love, which I would actually see.
Yes.
Because so
this was a decent story. This was a good first story to a trilogy.
So, as someone who has not read the books and was just watching the movie, so what is the name of the crazy white-looking lady with the "May the odds always be in your favor"?
Yeah, I don't remember her name offhand.
Okay. I was stunned in the movie that she never went to another district. I didn't realize that for some reason she was only
in District 12.
Only for that district.
Yeah, no
they
idea who she was.
That.
Yeah, you're right. They made it seem like she was the one that went around and did all the picking
everyone. She's been in all the commercials, all the trailers. She's like this big, huge thing icon from it.
Well, she in the book is one of their, like, I mean, they have like a team. You know how like when somebody's going to the Olympics, they have like a this or that and the other, like, or like a celebrity has a team of people helping to prep.
Yeah,
like a pageant, actually. She's more like their pageant representative. Because in a lot of ways, it is analogous to a pageant.
Yes, okay. Yes.
I get that.
Or supposed to be. The other thing you don't ever really get is Katniss's, like, and this could be the movie, it could be the actress, you know, and I'm not trying to give her too hard of a time or whatever.
But
you don't ever really see, like, her disdain for the games in her face enough.
No.
And the fact that she's totally faking being in love with PETA just because that's what the crowd wants and she's just trying to have them both survive. You know what I mean? Like, she hates The Hunger Games, hates it with a passion. She doesn't like ever getting dressed up.
No.
And they don't sell that.
They kind of hinted on it a little bit, but definitely they could have done a lot more with it, and it wouldn't have taken all that much more time. Mind you, the movie was like 2 hours and 20 minutes. So extra 5 minutes, I'm not dying.
A little more acting.
I also think that Woody Harrelson sobered up and became a respectable character
way too quickly. Much more quickly than in the book.
I would have liked to have seen a little more progression with his sobriety.
That's the big thing all in all is just character progression.
They flip through the book and they go, oh, that's an important part. Oh, that's an important part.
They don't,
ooh, put that part in.
Yeah,
ooh, put that part in.
Yeah.
And then that's all they did is just film scenes from the book and put them all together in chronological order. And that's what it was.
Hey, at least
and so as somebody who has seen the book, it was, like I said, it was cool to see the story that I liked come to life on the big screen. But if that was all I had, it just wasn't going to be enough.
And if I can just for a moment say that, you know, it's not just 13-year-old girls that are annoying. The woman sitting to the right of me.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead.
Was there with her husband, who has not read the book.
Yeah.
And she was thrilled and excited every time she saw something she loved from the book.
You remember how I said Cinebistro sells alcohol? Yeah, she had gone through an entire bottle of wine.
Yeah, her and her husband had a bottle of wine. So every time something happened, she would explain to him why this is different than in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's quite different, she talked a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Christ, can I not go to a freaking theater where someone doesn't feel the need to just
explain
talk.
Everything.
And I thought, out of all possible theaters,
that would
this
be the
would
one.
Be the place where people would shut up and be quiet.
I was actually at VCC, and I had no problem. I had one person talking behind me a little bit, and I kind of just zoned them out. And after a while, they just didn't talk much.
Well,
and here was the other thing about this person: is she would wait till the quiet parts.
She would wait till the quiet parts. So then I would take my cup,
it's the opposite of what you do,
my glass, because they had you had a glass of drink.
Okay, that's cool.
With the ice in it, whenever she'd start talking, I would either sip at the bottom, or I would start shaking it. I would
in
hold
her
it.
General
I would hold it away from me toward her and just start shaking it. Which was fun.
I turned around and said, would you please be quiet? I don't care who you are. You could be some famous, powerful, rich 1% person. Shut the heck up.
So moving on.
Okay.
So at the very beginning, we see her with the fake Taylor Lautner guy. And Well, I'm sorry. I don't know if that's how he's described in the book, but that's what he's there for. He's Taylor Lautner Jr. Mm-hmm. So she's hunting, which apparently you're not supposed to do.
Well, they went outside of the area,
and you're not supposed to hunt. Yes.
And you had that nice ship that came along.
Yeah.
That I have since found out would scoop people up.
Yes.
For doing bad things,
mm-hmm.
and would scoop up the bodies of the dead people, you know, during the Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. That you would see these ships.
Yeah. I didn't see that at all.
Did not happen. And no. I'm like, you know, you've got to set that up, because if there's ships coming in like that, I'm going to use that to my advantage in the third book. In the third book, I'm gonna take one of those goddamn things when they least expect it. Someone's going to pretend to be dead. We're going to get on there. We're going to take that goddamn thing, ride it back to the capital city, and mess up the...
they have sensors. So, I mean, like
I can get around that.
I mean, like, the thing that they inject in their arm is the tracking sensor. It is also, like, a vital sign...
Okay.
Measurer.
Still. I kept hearing, and I hate when movies do this. I hate when movies tell me something that they should show me.
Right.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Berkley in Showgirls. You have more natural talent than any dancer I've ever seen in my life.
Show me.
I've never seen that, and I've seen Showgirls 20 times.
Wow.
Because I have the special edition that has the commentary track, and
it's pretty funny.
That there's this guy who used to show it in California as a midnight movie, mm-hmm. and so they just had him like just riff on it. And literally, when that guy says that line, most of any dancer I've ever seen, he goes, "Boy, wait, what universe are we in now?" I heard that Katniss is a badass,
mm-hmm.
and I think that if she is a badass in the book, like I assume she is,
right.
I think that every person that looks up to that character deserved for her to be a badass in this movie.
Is when they were in the like training room or whatever, and she first gets the bow.
Yeah.
They needed 10 seconds of her pew, 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 badassness, and they didn't. Yeah. They couldn't even throw that in there,
because to show you how much I was having problems with this movie, when she gets into the tube to go up for the games,
mm-hmm.
she leans over to me and goes, "This is happening much faster than in the book." And I was thinking, dear Christ, I was ready to do this 45 minutes ago.
I was glad that they did a lot of the whole getting prepared, so it's not just, hey, we're on a train. Hey, here we go. I'm glad they actually went and gave us something to care for.
But, well, again, I don't...
Needed more.
I don't know that I cared so much.
It was good.
The scene where Katniss volunteers as tribute...
Is moving.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Is that couple of minutes or whatever time it was, that really, like... Such a brother heart. Right there. That was something.
So we just gonna ignore that hate crime, huh?
that was not too shabby, but what I'm saying is, like, she runs off, she promises her sister, "Come back. I will. And she doesn't do a damn thing to try to win the Hunger Games. Not in the movie. She doesn't try to she runs away.
Mm-hmm.
They get the fire and push her back.
Yeah.
She gets into a goddamn tree.
Well, you know, I think the strategy was let them all kill themselves and I'll be the last one left.
Which is a decent strategy because
it showed me that, though.
Well, because at the beginning it's like, listen, they're going to have a cornucopia. They're going to have all the weapons. Don't go to it. It's a bloodbath. Stay away. Go hide. So,
I just keep wishing I could think of a way to show them that they don't own me.
Okay. I don't know how you're going to do that since they own you, but
yeah,
okay.
That was fine.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. That makes sense for that. But what I'm saying is, like, when the District 1 guys are teamed up with PETA for no particular reason that I know of, because the movie didn't explain it.
No.
They find her in a tree, and they camp out. A chick with a bow and arrow, they mm-hmm. camp out under the tree that she's in.
Yeah.
They don't set it on fire and walk
away.
She didn't
have the bow and arrow yet.
Oh.
Yeah, No. Well, the bomb did. That's where she got it from. The girl at the bottom of the tree had the bow and arrow.
The girl at the bottom.
But Katniss didn't have it.
Okay. Yeah.
They didn't set the tree on fire. They could have killed her right then and there. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. You could have climbed a tree. If you can't hit with the goddamn arrow, you could have climbed the tree. You could have thrown rocks.
Well, they tried to climb the tree, too.
You could have thrown rocks. There were several things you could have done other than waiting for her to come kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Which, did she even kill?
Wait, yeah, the tracker.
Yeah, she. Mm-hmm. Right. Sorry, this is just... It bothers me. She killed, I don't know how many people, but not a lot.
Two, I think, was total.
Now... Again, I've got to say, she's a badass. She's great. Okay, she's got a bow and arrow at the end. There's a guy guarding the stuff. How do you not take him out?
No kidding. You take
out the guard before you take that out. It's quiet. You've got a bow and arrow. It's quiet. You kill that guy.
She didn't want to play the games. She didn't want to kill anybody.
But she wanted to blow the stuff up.
But she swore to her sister she'd win.
But she, I mean, okay, she's also, well, okay, what, 15, 16? So not
really?
Super.
Really?
Because she's supposed to be. Maybe.
Really?
Maybe.
She looked like 18.
Yeah,
because
this would have had to be her last year being in the games is from the movie.
I'd have to go back and double check.
Okay.
And then, so, I mean, she's not 12, but at the same time, okay, so even though she's mature and she's been the provider for her family, she's still, her moral approach to this is, I want to survive this. I don't want to be killed in this. I want to be the one who survives and comes home to my sister. But at the same time, I don't want to play by their rules. I don't want to have to kill anybody if I can help it.
Well.
And that's unrealistic, of course, right?
Yes.
But she's not going to go on some killing spree rampage because then she's their puppet.
Yeah, she does exactly what she didn't want to be.
She wanted to survive by and at the same time not have to kill anybody.
Okay, maybe that's in the book. That's not in the movie. That is not anywhere in the movie at all. I mean, Peter just said that. She said,
I just can't afford to think like that.
She said that in the movie. She can't afford to think like that. So the movie tells me that she's, because when she does the explosion.
16.
When she does the explosion, 16,
she's
really?
Supposed to be 16.
When she does the explosion and the rich kids come running back and they don't see her and she's laying there, and I'm like, you've got a bow and arrow. Kill them.
Yeah, and I guess they could have established that better in the movie, but I knew because I'd read the books.
Right.
Her philosophy.
See, that's the thing.
On the games.
Yeah. Everyone I've talked to, if you've read these books,
this is a better movie.
Because
you got an awful lot out of it.
Automatically,
I'd even give it higher than a 7. I'd give it like an 8.
Wow.
I'm thinking 6.5.
I've seen this done better. And here's another reason. I'm sorry, but I can't forgive this. They said this in the movie. This was established in the movie, and it's what we never saw. 40% of you will die from natural causes.
Mm-hmm.
Hunger. Exposure. No one ever dealt with that. Not in the movie.
One person died from that because she ate the berries.
That's poison. That's hunger and exposure.
That's not exposure. That's not hunger.
Yeah.
That's not, oh, Jesus, I'm wilting away.
Yeah.
They could not find food.
I just never got the feeling that she was actually fighting to try to get back to her
sister.
All
we would have needed was to see her eat some bugs. That could have done it.
Anything like that, it would have worked. Because for me, it just felt like she lucked her whole way through this thing. I never got the feeling that she was worthy of winning the game. That she could have won the game.
And she really didn't win the game at the end.
No. Well.
She didn't.
Well.
Because.
No, see, that's the moment where she screwed them over. Where she's like, screw you guys.
I'm not playing by your rules.
Well, no, I'm talking.
You need to have a winner.
No. I'm talking about before that, when they're on, all three of them are on top of that cornucopia, and they're fighting. Mm-hmm. And she shoots the arrow. She doesn't shoot the arrow into him. She shoots the arrow into his hand, and Peeta knocks him off. He wins
because
the game.
Because she didn't want to kill anybody.
Exactly. He wins the games.
It doesn't matter. No, the winner of the games is the last one standing.
I know that.
However that happens.
I know.
You don't get a tally of kills, so it doesn't matter.
It's
let me finish. It's not. It doesn't have anything to do with killing anyone.
Yes,
it's
I understand
whoever that. Is the last one standing.
And if it had to come down to, we actually only have one winner versus two, then it would have been like, okay.
Would she have stood there and let Peeta killed her? Because
Peeta wasn't going to kill her.
Because I know that he was all crazy about her, and apparently in the book she does a much better job convincing him that she cares about him, but I never bought that in the movie.
No.
Not once. Ever did I buy it.
I think she kind of did at one point.
No.
But it may have been
she's
manipulation. She was more manipulating, trying to make sure that she survived.
Okay, right. But again,
making sure he lived.
I don't.
It's the whole cave thing.
I still don't think that the movie did a good job explaining that. It was far too rushed. I never got what they were trying to say. And since I hadn't read the book, don't be mad.
And here's the thing, though. We'll never know if Peeta, if they had been like, all right, ready, we're going to eat the berries on 1, 2, 3, if he would have eaten them.
It'd been 1, 2.
I know. Ha ha, you're dead, I win. But no, I mean, like, he really did love her, at least as far as he knows. You know
what
I mean?
I'm going to die. I want to still be me.
And not a berry man. Go ahead.
Right. So I was just saying that, you know, it's established that he wouldn't want to kill her. And yeah. she wouldn't want to kill him because she didn't want to kill anybody. So, okay, well, I'm going to double cross you. You want to have one winner? No, I don't think so. F you.
Yeah,
okay. F you, the you know, establishment.
What in the movie shows me that if that's what she was really trying to do, like apparently it is in the book, what in the movie showed me that she was doing that and had the smarts to do that? To make this big plan to try to survive.
It was not established in the movie.
It simply was not. And watching it as a movie, I heard the next morning, you know, after the midnight premiere, all the news was talking to all these people, and some 13-year-old girl who probably has read all the books several thousand times, it's the best movie I've ever seen in my life. And no, I'm sorry.
Okay, she's 13. Not. She's probably
sleep
deprived. How many movies
has she seen?
She saw Harry Potter. Harry Potter, hell, Half-Blood Prince was better than this, in my opinion.
Every single one of the Harry Potter movies was better than this.
Yes, but Half-Blood Prince is my least favorite.
Yeah. Even Deathly Hallows Part 1.
No.
Because, and again, why is this thing PG-13? I'm sorry. This is not, and again, I know it's not supposed to be, but this is not Battle Royale. Battle Royale had character development. Battle Royale had people that had specific ways they were trying to play the game, and they established it. It was vicious. It was violent. It was dirty. They were struggling to survive.
Right, because they're there on the island 6 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
So they had plenty of time to do that. They still could have. Like if they had
flashbacks establishing characters as well.
Here's the thing. When you have the author of the books involved in writing the screenplay.
Yeah.
Because like I said, what they just did is they picked this is going to be in, this is going to be in, this is going to be in, we're going to make these scenes, we're going to film them, we're going to put them in a row.
Yeah.
As she didn't even, if somebody else with a fresh set of eyes had a crack at this, they might have done it more in that style. All right, let's start. You know, with the tribute, and you know, you might have spent a portion of the beginning of the movie going, "What the heck is going on here? What is this?" But then they could have done it through flashbacks, and it would have been more effective.
I mean, they kept going to that one damn flashback of dude throwing out some bread, and I'm like,
giving us 3 seconds more of it each time they did it. That was wasteful.
Because, and again, and she had to explain this to me, I'm like, he said his family makes cakes. If they're in the poorest damn district, who the hell's buying cakes in this district? And what is it in the book? They make it for other districts or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, they export to other districts. Plus, then there's also, I mean, there's not every single person in District 12 is totally destitute.
Well, that's how they made it seem like. That's what and the further out we get, the poorer they are. Oh, okay. Well, they didn't show me. Mm-hmm. They didn't show me. They told me that, and that's what I believed.
Right. And you didn't really get any of the other districts except for that one, you know, when Rue died and the...
Yeah, a little bit of 11.
Right. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's
Battle Royale focused on different people at different times, so you had a feeling for everyone that was going on. Yeah. I didn't get that here. No. I just kept following Katniss, and she just wasn't that interesting a character in the movie to me.
I think she could have been a lot more developed.
Now, here comes a very weird comparison that only about 5 people are probably going to get.
Okay.
This movie kind of reminds me of Bonfire of the Vanities in the fact that it's a crazy huge book that got turned into a movie that doesn't make any sense as a movie if you have not read the book. The book is by Tom Wolfe. It's this fantastic thing. It got turned into a movie with Tom Hanks, Bruce Willis, and Michelle Pfeiffer.
No, yes. Kathryn Griffin. Griffin? No.
Melanie Griffith?
Melanie Griffith. Yeah.
Okay, yes. Yes, because she had a boob job halfway through
this
movie.
Yes, and they had to reshoot everything.
Showed up. Where at the beginning of the movie, they have reporters saying things that happened in the opening sequence of the book to try to get you this.
Get caught up.
And it didn't make sense to anybody else. I'd read the book. Uh-huh. I recognized all that. But even I was like, this is disjointed. This isn't right. And that's what this was to me. It was not for me. It was not to bring me into this universe. Mm-hmm. It was for the people, hey, here's your quick Viewmaster version of it.
Okay.
That's just how I saw it anyway.
Yeah, it almost could have worked as a photo slideshow.
I was saying, put this shit on HBO as a series.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would have been some shit right there.
Great.
Now, you know the CW is making a show that is not The Hunger Games in the same way that The Vampire Diaries is not Twilight.
Oh, God.
So
a ripoff, getting away with what they can't get away with.
Yeah, I forget what it's called, but yeah. but yeah. So if I can throw a shout out to Susan Z real quick. You sent an email, I don't know, a year ago saying that, no, The Hunger Games is going to be a movie. And yeah, no, it's absolutely, no, it did not go there. I know your book went there, but the movie did not. And I was right. Battle Royale could never be made in America because they just won't go there.
Well, here's the thing. I think that whether the two of you end up reading the books as a result of this or not,
I would like to.
I think that this movie is going to serve the purpose that in order to try to fill in maybe some of the blanks, people are going to read the books. And if it helps get people into reading books, I think the books are pretty well written. I mean, they're not Twilight. I think that they're well written books. And so if it gets some people to read who wouldn't normally be reading, I think then that's a side benefit as well.
Well, again, as much as I dislike Twilight, I gave it credit for what it did, and for the same thing for Hunger Games. Anything that gets kids to read,
you kind of have a horrible thing,
right? You kind of have to support.
Yeah.
However, don't run around telling me what a great movie this was, because it was okay. It wasn't awful. I've seen much worse films.
Oh yeah, yes.
But it was. I watched a movie and thought, wow, they really missed an opportunity to show me something really interesting here.
I will agree with that to that point, but it was. I think it was a. I saw it as a good first shot in a trilogy, and once this becomes a trilogy, you're going to see the first movie a little bit better.
Once you get the 40 minutes of extra footage.
Once I get the 40 minutes.
Here's the thing. It's impossible for me and all of these other fans who have read the book to ever see the movie without having the information that we have. You know what I mean? And so
yeah,
for me, I can objectively kind of look at it and say, well, if you didn't have the book's background information, I could see how this could be a little challenging. But there are people who can't do that, who can't objectively look at it from another person's point of view, and all they know is that they know what they know and they saw what they saw, and they're making these connections in their brain between what they remember from the book and what they're seeing in the movie, but they're not conscious of it.
See, I don't know that it's not that I don't get it. It's that say what you just said again. Say that again, because I need to just deconstruct your exact phraseology.
I don't remember.
Okay, well, never mind then. No, I don't think it was difficult.
I wasn't
difficult.
Accusing you of not getting it. I just meant that like you fill in the blanks with what you know.
Okay.
And because this whole conversation, we've been talking about the things that the movie did not adequately establish.
Right.
So, but if you already had that in your brain, you didn't need the movie to establish it.
I shouldn't have to read a book to watch a movie. Just like
I know, but all these
other Twilight books to see how great the first one is.
All the fans of the movie who are saying, wow, this is a really great movie, already had the book and were therefore being able to make the connections.
Then I would like to ask every fan of the book to watch the movie again and stop and think about what you're filling in your brain and look around the audience to the people like me that are going, God, why is this? Why aren't you doing anything interesting? Why? And what the hell is with Wes Bentley's beard? Stanley Tucci looked weird enough, but Wes Bentley's beard, what the hell?
Well, because he's a citizen of the Capitol, and they did all of these crazy, over-the-top.
Mm-hmm. Which I saw, as a smart individual figured that must be what they're going for, but I never saw any. And besides, because we're running out of time, if I can throw this out there, where the hell is all the corporate shit that I kept hearing about? That's not in the movie.
Mm-hmm. There was two parachutes? Three parachutes?
Oh, the sponsors and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
there wasn't enough about that at all. And that was one of the things why the other districts are always such an underdog. It wasn't just that districts 1 and 2 were always training,
volunteering.
Yeah. It wasn't just that, but it was also that, they'd get help throughout from all different kinds of sponsors. And it was so important to try to get sponsors. But the only people we ever saw get any parachutes were Katniss and PETA.
Yeah.
And someone else made a good point. I was remembering. The parachutes in the book did not make any noise. So if you had a parachute coming down that was going bing, 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 you wouldn't run and go get it because it would make you a target. I mean, everybody could follow the noise from the parachute. Because
if they were, if fire makes you a target, sound would easily make you a target, target as well.
Right.
So yeah. I know it's just, I think that there's a good story, and I just don't think that this movie served it that well. That's all I'm going with, because it's a 5. It's a 5 as far as I'm concerned as a movie.
Okay, my ultimate thing would be read the book, then go see the movie. If you want to enjoy it, if you want to have the most enjoyable experience you possibly can, read the book and then go see it. You shouldn't have to. The movie in and of itself should do it on its own. But if you want to get the most out of this experience, read the book and then watch the movie.
But I'm very serious. I would much rather read the books and never watch another one of these films again. I don't have any interest in watching them anymore.
Okay, I have plenty of girlfriends who will go see this with me.
Okay, fine.
Well, I'm just saying.
Let me push the button then and get the hell out of here.
Hit the button.
All right. So, JRD's Weekly, License of the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license.
Very nice.
Thank you. Make sure to check us out, Facebook, Twitter, the fantastic forums over at geekradiodaily.com. Drop us a note at podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinchers Hall at geekradiodaily.com. Or send a voicemail to
206-3-FUN-HACK.
Alrighty then. So I guess we'll see you in what, a week?
Yeah,
sure.
Let's do it.
A week. It sounds good to me.
We could do it, you know. Take off, live on the woods. They just want a good show. That's all they want.
And this brings to a close another of our weekly programs, Debate the Issues.
It needs to be about 20% cooler.
40.
That was lame.
Blah, 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 blah.
Welcome, welcome. The time has come to select one courageous young man and woman for the honor of representing District 12 in the 74th Annual Hunger Games.
Is somebody hungry? Let's see what's for dinner. Ooh, the drama. Cheesy beef macaroni. Why is everyone so sad?
The volunteer!
Who wouldn't volunteer for Hamburger Helper? Don't cry. There'll be enough for everyone. Except PETA. He's worthless. I'm Team Gale.
They just want a good show. That's all they want.
Woo, you could put your beef in my cheese taco.
From the best-selling epic novels and dinner.
Whoa, the future of dinner. Who's here for Hamburger Helper? Not you, PETA. You suck. You're gonna die. You too. Looks like everybody's working up an appetite.
The games.
Do you guys like cheesy beef taco?
We'll change.
Take this and buy some beef stroganoff.
Dinner.
How many cheese? 3 cheese. What are you doing here, Lenny Kravitz? Since when do you act?
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Give me that Hamburger Helper!
The Hunger Games, Hamburger Helper. May the odds be ever in your flavor.
Be-